Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
We're up there, and like, here are the people on the panel, so I'm like taking pot shots at Brian Brom, because like, that's what he came to Buffalo for.
It's Mike Shope.
You literally told EJ Manuel to his face that he sucked.
And the Bulldog.
I was proud of you, because no.
I feel like that's what you're there for.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I know. I couldn't, though. No. I couldn't.
I'm better than you.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Thank you for being with us here on this Wednesday afternoon, evening. I don't know, 5 o'clock evening. I think whatever. It's dark out. It's all you need. I don't know. I know Alaska is dark for months on end. I mean, it's not always evening. But anyway, let's listen to Bulldog talk about how clocks work. 803-0550 is the number. I am here by myself today. Mike is out sick. By myself, I mean, Zach is here, of course. As always, answering your phone calls and keeping this thing out of the ditch. You know, largely, I'm inevitable sometimes. I'm going to end up there.
Keeps me on my toes.
Yes, it does. Keep you on your toes. 803-0550 is the number. Some very good, like, reasonably measured responses. I know, right? On X. to my Twitter poll, do you believe the Bills can win a Super Bowl with Sean McDermott as their head coach? Way more positive votes than negative. There are two quasi-positive here. I'll just tell you what they are instead of just guessing around it. Absolutely, maybe, but I'm shook. Those are the yeah-ish. And doubt it, and of course not, are the other two. And absolutely and maybe, but I'm shook are ruling the day. Couple of longer responses here. I think the Nicholas writes in, I think the Bills can win a Super Bowl because of Allen. It's the most important thing. Sean is good, not great, but you don't have to be the best coach to win a Super Bowl. I think that's entirely reasonable. Entirely reasonable. Andy Reid makes conservative fourth down decisions far more than McDermott, but we never hear about it because he's a wizard of scheming offense and, you know, has Mahomes and they win. I think that's also fair. There's just a couple of examples there. There's, of course, the other side, which, of course, is focused on, well, some of these late-game decisions that have cost the Bills, like perhaps they did on Sunday in L.A. against the Rams. And, you know, it's another loss after 7 wins in a row. We were here, 8 or 9 weeks ago. There's a bye mixed in there, so forgive me on the math, but they lost in early October, the first Sunday in October, they lost in Houston, and there was stuff, right? There was a late drive that started deep in Bills territory, like their own 3-yard line-ish, I think, is without calling up the play-by-play. I think from talking about it enough, that's exactly where they were, and not a lot of time left, and the Bills chose to try to throw the ball, get upfield, get into field goal position, basically not play for overtime, which they had done, I thought, to their detriment against Philadelphia a year prior. So I'm over here going, yeah, good, go. Throw it. You've got Josh Allen as your quarterback. You got time here. Get into field goal range. Win this game. Don't let it come down to a coin flip. Well, 3 incompletions and a punt later, there's Houston with the ball back, and they end up booting a super long field goal and beating you. And so I wasn't at the head of the line at all criticizing McDermott after that, because I supported him being aggressive there and the offense trying to throw their way out of their own shadows of their own goal line. Goal posts, goal line doesn't make a shadow, the goal posts do. Get that right, kids. But a lot of you were hot about it. Turns out that's the last time they lost until Sunday in L.A., and here we are again. Like the Bills lose a game and right is rain. It's he didn't do this and he didn't do that. Now, I think while I defended him against the criticism in the Houston example, I understand people being aggressive about it. Ross Tucker, one of our favorites every Tuesday, he hated it. A lot of football people hated it. I defended it because it lined up basically with my criticism from the year prior of not doing something similar against the Eagles. So I want to try to be consistent. My name's on the door here, you know? And so I don't want to be two-faced and change how I view how they should handle some of these scenarios. So anyway, that doesn't make me right or wrong. I'm just telling you my methodology, right? Because unlike people who just call the show, like I'm here every day. you can keep track if you want. I don't know if anybody really does, but I try not to be one of these people who does one of these jobs who just yells about the thing everybody wants to hear yelled about because you like, you know, loud noises or something. I don't know. You like arguments. Anyway, this thing on Sunday, there was way more room to criticize him for what happened on Sunday, going all the way back to the Rams' last touchdown drive. And the accepted holding penalty. For time alone, I wouldn't have taken that penalty. I don't know that the Rams would have kicked a field goal on 4th and 7. I dearly wish they would have. And part of my thinking is I would have liked McDermott to make McVay make that decision. Instead, they pushed him back, 3rd and 17. They get 12 yards. Now it's 4th and 5. And yes, the tackle moved early and the Cooper Kupp held a guy and all that. Whatever. They scored and that's it. Now I'm down by 9, but I would have made them, the Rams, this is, make a decision on 4th and 7. You kicking or you going for it here? Maybe they get it and everything turns out the same. I don't know, but I would have had a little more time left, and who knows? Maybe they kick the field goal and do you the favor. Maybe they go for it and don't get it. Anyway, the thing at the goal line, the Bills' final touchdown drive, the sneak, the timeout, like it was costly. I think it took the Bills out of a scenario where they could have played for using their timeouts on defense and stopping the Rams and getting the ball back with a chance to drive for a winning field goal. Instead, it placed them squarely into onside kick territory, and that was awful. In my opinion, that was a tough way to handle that scenario. Maybe from the sneak call right on through. Because I'll tell you, a guy earlier told me, I'm 2 feet away from my TV, and I'm yelling at my TV. Well, I wasn't 2 feet away from my TV, but they lined up the way they lined up, not looking like the tush-push play. And I thought, okay, this is going to be it's a tight formation, but Zach Davidson is out there, and maybe this is going to be some sort of a look to get the Rams to think it's QB sneak, but it's actually going to be something else, and maybe Allen can run it in himself around the end or up the middle at the C's part or throw an incomplete pass or a touchdown. Either any of those scenarios are better than not getting the sneak and having to call timeout. So a lot of question about late game tactics there, as again often happens. It has been 8 weeks since we've been here, but we're here again, and that's what generated this topic today for all of you to chime in on at 803-0550. Let's fire that back up. We'll start with Rob this segment. Hi, Rob. Thank you for calling. You are on the air here on WGR.
Thank you, Bulldog. And if Mike is listening, get well soon.
Thank you. On behalf
of
him.
Well, first off, Bulldog, I would like to say thanks for bringing a great itinerary and subjects to this show and making great positive points. Now, I'm going to kill 3 birds with 1 stone. First, Belichick.
Bold.
I want to give you a little visual. Can you picture Belichick in a baby blue Tar Heels hoodie with the sleeves cut off just below the elbows? Wouldn't he look real cute in that?
I'm getting a visual, and I don't really like anything about it. I'm oddly uncomfortable. I want to stop thinking about it. Start talking again, Rob.
All right. Next, as far as the fans that call up coming out of the woodworks and criticizing Belichick, you know, I never hear them when we win, which was a point that you made.
It's McDermott, like, you mean? Yeah, right.
Yeah, McDermott, exactly. They always seem to call when we lose.
Well, of
they
course.
They call
right.
when we win. Right. And it's like, and that reminds me of Slayer fans coming out of the woodworks for a Slayer concert. The third is absolutely 100% we would win the Super Bowl with McDermott, especially if we're in it this year. With that, I'll keep listening. Never a dull moment.
Rob, Slayer? I mean, Rain and Blood coming up today? Who had that on the bingo card? What a pull. Slayer. Love it, Rob. Thank you very much for the phone call. I don't mean to disregard everything else you said, but you just kind of blew my mind with the Slayer thing. Belichick in that blue. I don't know. I'm going to have to – I want to say this now because it came up earlier and I'm talking about my mind is blown. Just one quick little sidebar. I think if this actually comes through and they approve the contract and like we're at some point tonight or, even in a little while, like that's it. There's a news conference for tomorrow at noon. I think I'm going to have to respect it. That he wants to coach so badly that he's going to go do this because – I really have a hard time fathoming a scenario where he demonstrates to the NFL that he should have one of the 32 jobs. Like if it feels like the ship has sailed on him in the NFL, I think that's with good reason. I do think there's a lot that goes into building a successful team, and he's done it before, but his drafting, the choices they've made with the roster still while he was back in New England toward the end of Brady and after Brady left were flat out bad. So I have a hard time envisioning him increasing his marketability to the NFL by going to North Carolina. Like, that's going to go so well that Arthur Smith is going to revisit the idea of hiring him to coach the Atlanta Falcons, or Jerry Jones is going to, I have a very hard time seeing this as a building block to get back to the NFL. Because, he's already, he's already in his 70s. Like, is he going to just go to North Carolina for 1 year and win 7 games or something? And, oh, that's it, you're back. I don't know, man. I don't think that it really adds up. So I don't know what he's thinking. I would understand if you think. I've thought the same thing. He's trying to get back to the NFL, and he thinks this is a pathway. I think maybe I want to reconsider that. I think maybe I'm wrong to think that. I think he just wants to go coach. Because I don't see North Carolina as a stepping stone to the Seattle Seahawks or something. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I don't. I think I want to respect him doing this because I don't see it. The ulterior motive, I'm not sure it really adds up for me. Anyway, AJ is up next. Hi, AJ. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, how you doing, Bulldog?
Fantastic.
So this question is probably the most controversial question ever. I know it seems simple. It's not. So I think it falls more of, I know some people compare our head coach to the Lions head coach when it comes to, going for the fourth down mm-hmm. as of recent. I disagree with that due to the fact that Sean McDermott is excellent, I think, when it comes to having something happen to him once, which sucks as a Bills fan because it happens to us in the worst possible time, the playoffs. So he'll have a mistake happen in the playoffs, and he'll learn from it. And things like this happen. Like, I don't think this will ever happen again. He will learn from it. He's really good at adjusting next season with certain things from our experience as fans.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is you can't compare him to the head coach from Detroit, because he started off going for fourth downs. He didn't have to learn from a loss. Or he's just been that way. So mm-hmm. if you can bring up the Chargers head coach from last year, he's known for always doing it, but he never really –
Well, he was – I'll tell you what I think happened there, AJ. Mm-hmm. He was very aggressive that first year. He got burned, and I think he changed because the owner told him, dude, you're embarrassing me. And so he just went against what he thought was the right thing to do, and he got fired for it. That's what I think happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So with the question for me, I do think we can do it. I just think we need to stop being so anti-Chiefs. If the path is for us to go through the Chiefs, I think for the last 3-4 years, we've been, since 2020, we've been building to beat the Chiefs, not be the best version of ourselves. So there's other teams that scare me more in the playoffs than the Chiefs. Like, if we play Baltimore, I think our run defense is so small. We have small linebackers to run with people like Kelce and things like that. We're built to play the Chiefs or smaller defensive people that can run with a quarterback that's mobile, if you get my message. I don't have to talk about it too much. Everybody knows. Yeah. I just think, you know, that's the situation it is. I do think we have a phenomenal coach. We win every year. He has an unbelievable record. We've done great things. It's just when things come up, like if your quarterback gives you 6 touchdowns, it drives us nuts as fans.
Like, I know, man.
You're a defensive head coach.
I know. Yeah.
But that's just me. I'll let you talk.
Thank you, AJ. I appreciate it. Appreciate the call. Very, very good job there. There is the game of the year point. That gets made, right? I mean, the Chief game, the 13 seconds game was like, the most incredible game ever, all the Bills lost. This Eagle game last year is one of the most incredible games ever, all they lost. The Tampa game, what year was that? Was that 22? What an incredible game, all they lost. You know, or 21, whatever year, I don't remember what year it was. It was one of those, great comeback, it's overtime. I mean, that's the refs really screwed the Bills in that Tampa loss. That was an overtime loss, too. What's the other one? Oh, the Minnesota game here, where they got the recovered fumble in the end zone, and then the Justin Jefferson 4th-and-18 or whatever it was. Like, what a great game, you lost. And here's another one, 44-42, it's the Rams. What a shootout. It's, but you lost. I get it. I mean, there's a trend there that, if you want to connect all those, that thread, that's troubling. But there's still just so much more winning than losing when you cut it right down to it. Chris is up next. Hi, Chris. Thank you for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I think a lot of folks, probably even including myself, don't know what goes into being a head coach. You know, you're managing your coaches, you're managing your players, you have a relationship with administration. I think there's a lot to do there. I do think, though, Sean has brought a winning culture to our organization, but I really want to be honest, and you stole a lot of my thunder. I don't think he has what it takes to win the Super Bowl. You know, you're stealing my thunder was that Philly game. 20 seconds left, we've got the ball, and you're going to take a knee, knowing they could get the kickoff and march down the field and score. It's things like that. You know, the fourth and the accepting of the penalty the other Sunday against the Rams, here's the issue, I think. If you decline that penalty, it's 4th-and-7, but you're only giving them one shot if they go for it. If you take the penalty, it's what,
3rd-and-17.
Third and 17. Now you're giving them two shots, and let's be honest, we did not stop them all day.
Yep.
You've got to know what's going on. And you know, with Josh, anything is possible. I love him. I just don't think if the Pagulas are happy with playoffs every year, he's our guy. But I really believe in the Super Bowl. He's not going to get us there. He just is missing something. No disrespect, but that's my honest opinion.
I got you, Chris. Thank you. Appreciate the call. The penalty, third and 7 becomes 3rd-and-17. They get the 12 yards. McDermott, when asked about it, talked about it, and I think I'm trying to remember if he doubled down on this on Monday or not. But it's, whatever. At some point, after the game, or on Monday, or maybe both, he referred to wanting to push them out of field goal range. And I'm over here going, let them kick. Like, if they want to kick. Someone called us on post game. I remember this distinctly, that it was Sunday night after the game. You know, force them to kick the field goal. Well, you can't force them to kick the field goal. You can force them to make a choice there. And I think, considering the clock and the lead in the game, I would have loved it if they kicked a field goal. I'm down by 6 now, and I'm getting the ball back, and I've got all my timeouts, and it's the 2-minute warning. with that dude playing quarterback, I mean, I know I don't have it made. I'd rather only have to drive for a field goal, but I mean, I think that would have been ideal. So pushing them out of field goal range is not, should not be the motivation for that. And he said it was, and it really, I guess it's the only motivation there could be, because it's fourth and seven. I want you to make them make a call there. Are they going to go for it? Maybe they get you anyway. And I recognize, you know, there's some chance that you can make a good play on third and 17 too. And now they're in fourth and 17 or something. But the way that game had gone, I would have declined that penalty all day long. And if the Rams want to kick, great. I'm not worried about pushing you out of field goal range. In fact, I'm dying for you to kick a field goal here. That's my view. Again, that's not, you know, law or anything. McDermott might disagree, and maybe he's right too. But I think I'd be better off getting the ball back with all the timeouts and almost 2 minutes left if they kick a field goal there. You know, who knows? Maybe they miss the field goal. Anyway, I would have declined the penalty. So I think it kind of goes on the pile, right? Nine men on the field for the punt goes on the pile. Quarterback sneak, timeout burn. Now I got an onside kick, goes on the pile. These are all they're all valid to me. I don't think that it means you cannot win with this guy, but I'd be lying if I told you. That's why I said, like, if I were voting in my own poll, I'm not allowed. I would take the second choice. It's still optimistic. It's maybe, but I'm shook. Because I'm shook by all that. I just laid it all out. I'm not going to do it again. But you believe the Bills can win the Super Bowl with Sean McDermott as your head coach? Yeah, but you know, a little nervous. We get to the Super Bowl and there's one of these moments. Or we get to the AFC title game and there's one of these moments. Like, is he going to get it right? He's gotten a lot of things right, but he's had these gaffes. And that's why we're here, right? 803-0550 is the number. We're just about a half an hour away from Paul Hamilton and the beginning of the Steve Foley Law Sabres pregame show. That is coming your way at the top of the hour. More of your calls on the way right after this. Mike Schope is off today with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
Sometimes the protection turns to him, sometimes it doesn't, and he has a one-on-one. So it's a combination of things, really. And, you know, sometimes what gets hidden in some of that is some of the factors that free somebody else up. So it could be him, you know, moving the quarterback off the spot and Greg gets a sack. So sometimes there's some things hidden in there. But overall, I think, you know, to your point, there's some things that he can do better, and then collectively we can do better as a whole as well.
That's Bills head coach Sean McDermott talking about one of his defensive tackles there, Ed Oliver. He's had a tough year. Just not having the impact. Man, he had last year. There were a lot of victory laps. Guilty. The contract extension. Like, not everybody loved it. And man, he played. He played his you know what off last year, Oliver. I thought he had a really, really good year. In the first year of that new contract. Like, oh wow, all right, good job. This year's been this is not happening as frequently at all, really. It's been kind of a letdown is being gentle about it, I guess. So we'll see if things improve for him as the stretch of the season winds down here, the final stretch of the season winds down, four games left. Beginning Sunday, 4:25 in Detroit against the Lions. We've been taking the temperature of the fan base on the head coach. It's been one of those weeks. There were some questionable decisions made at near the end of the loss at LA to the Rams. And I just thought to pointedly ask today, do you think they can do it with him as their head coach? Win the Super Bowl. Been a lot of great calls today. Really enjoying it. 803-0550 is the number if you want to get squeezed in here before we hit the top of the hour and our Steve Foley Law Sabres pregame show. Tim is first up this segment. Hi, Tim. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, Bulldog. Appreciate you taking the call.
Sure.
I'm a little late to the party, so I hope my comment is not redundant or repetitive.
Don't sweat it, man. Nobody ever sweat that. It's talk radio. People are in and out all the time, Tim. I appreciate you saying that, but you never have to worry about it.
I appreciate that. I'm encouraged by that. I really am. Here's my thing. I think McDermott has proven he's a good coach. But in order to win a Super Bowl, you have to get tired of being good. You have to want to be great. And the reason where McDermott, in my opinion, has dropped the ball is because of his decisions in the situation. This is when you find out what kind of coach you have, not when you're trouncing Seattle or trouncing San Francisco. When the game requires a sound coach decision. I'm referencing situational football. The Houston game comes to mind, where it was jaw-dropping that we were inside the 10 toward the end of the game, and he drops Josh back three times, three incompletions, and we punt without milking any clock. We didn't force Houston to use any of their timeouts. And his rationale, his meaning McDermott, was, well, in that situation, I want the ball in 17's hands. But situation-wise, it wasn't ideal. Maybe one attempt I could see, but it became apparent that the odds were against you moving the ball. It wasn't a really good game offensively. Mm-hmm. And he in essence, kind of gave that game away with the situation of play calling. Then you go back to last year against the Broncos when there were 12 men on the field. You go back to the 13 seconds. We should have squibbed it. He has really dropped the ball in the situational flow of the game. And that's something you can't trust. And he gets exposed in the playoffs against a Zach Taylor. He gets exposed. His shortcomings as a situational coach fail miserably. So you don't have to be a great coach to get Josh Allen to the playoffs, but you have to be a great coach to get Josh Allen in the Super Bowl. And until McDermott takes that step, we're going to get first-round knockouts, God forbid, no matter how good we are. And I hate to hear Colin Cowherd say Josh Allen is wasting his talent above. I hate that. But McDermott gives credence to that if he keeps dropping the ball when it comes to situational coaching, which is how you make a name for yourself as a head coach. Who could forget about Belichick years ago against the Broncos when he took a safety? It made no sense at all. But the logic behind it helped the Patriots win. I'm not putting McDermott in the same category as Belichick, but that standard of being able to think about the situation, McDermott has failed us. So I hope he gets better. If not, Pakula may need to make a very difficult decision. Real quick, Bulldog. Years ago, Andy Reid was not good enough to win at all. And Jeffrey Lurie parted ways with him. They get Peterson, he wins the Super Bowl. Andy Reid becomes a better head coach because he was let go. But it was Lurie who realized, you cannot get us to where we need to go, so we thank you for your services, but it's no longer needed. And I don't want to see McDermott get shown the door. But if he can't get us over the hump, we have to do it because Josh is generational talent. You're not going to get another quarterback like that for a long time. So if he doesn't do it, my opinion is he has to be shown the door.
Tim, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. Hopefully you're still within earshot here. Bruce Arians, Gary Kubiak, Tom Coughlin, Brian Billick, just some Barry Switzer, just some guys, Coughlin did win twice, but, you know, I think each time they won, like, he was on the ropes during the season, though. I mean, it needs to be said. Not all these guys are great across the board. Arians wears the cool Kangol caps, but, like, I don't know, she's great? I don't know. They won. The flag flies forever. You know, good job. You got Tom Brady for a year, and you won. So, you know, you did it. So I don't know. I don't think you got to be great to win it. You're going to be lauded as great once you win it, but that doesn't necessarily make you great. I think Doug Peterson is clown shoes, by the way. He got so much credit. He was kind of very on the front end of red light, yellow light, green light for fourth down stuff. He talked about having guys that help him. Somebody called me much earlier today and asked about that. And I'm so sorry that I got sidetracked by the rest of the caller's point that I never circled back to tell the caller. They absolutely have people looking at the replays telling him whether to throw the flag or not. And they absolutely have. Sean McDermott told us on this show after the Kansas City game that there are people helping him with those decisions and analyzing all the data and win probability and all that stuff. They've got the people. Like, he's not just standing there on the sideline in a snowstorm, squinting at the Jumbotron, going like, I don't know, is his foot in? I'm going to throw the flag. Like, they've got people. So don't ever sweat that. They've got teams of people setting this stuff in motion when they're trying to make those sorts of decisions. So, sorry, circling back from hours ago here, but wanted to just get that in here. Chris is next up. Another Chris. Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Howdy. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
So don't hate me. I need to preface this that I'm originally from Kansas City. I know. But I've been a fan for a really long time of the Chiefs, and I want to equate the way Sean McDermott is going through his trials right now with the way the Chiefs organization was going through it back in the 90s when we had Marty Schottenheimer, if you remember him. And everybody was talking about how horrible he was. He couldn't get us to the big game, and they got rid of him. And we had a drought for many, many years going through many, many coaches. Yeah, there was spurts here and there of having a good season, but we were never the organization we were until we got Andy Reid. So I want to equate that with Sean McDermott because I've been in the area since 2001. I've seen the Bills organization with their highs and lows since then.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that if they did solely on can Sean McDermott get us to the big game or not and get rid of him, I really see a potential for the Bills organization to have the same drought that the Chiefs had back in the 90s and after that point. So I really think that it's not really Sean McDermott. It could mm-hmm. potentially be, you know, the team president or the people that are doing the drafting, which I get some of that is Sean McDermott. But, you know,
yeah,
focusing on just Sean McDermott and getting rid of him, and by default, a lot of this subsequent staff that he has in place, I think that would really do a disservice to the Bills, and that's just my opinion.
All right, Chris, thank you. Appreciate the call, and I wouldn't judge you harshly for where you grew up and who you rooted for because of it, because that's how kind of we all do it. Most of us do it that way anyway. So, but good. I like the insight, too, because I think the one piece that's missing there is once Marty Schottenheimer got fired and the Chiefs sort of were in the wilderness until Andy Reid showed up, the way you put it, just, you know, with a couple of high watermarks, who was the quarterback at the time? As the thing that you've got here, the dynamic you have at play here, a lot of the criticism, I think, of McDermott starts from, is he going to waste all this magic from Josh Allen? Like, are his mistakes going to offset the incredible talent of the quarterback? And so you start there, and, like, you know, the person who matters in this equation to answer the question one way or the other is the owner, you know, the person who has the power to make a change if they wanted to. They should feel some security in that they've got Josh Allen as their quarterback. And so you're trying to, if playoff failure after playoff failure mounts to the point where you just feel like, okay, I've got to do something different, all right? I can't just keep hitting my head on the same ceiling over and over again. Then I got to do something else. The do something else, what buffers you from fearing getting lost in the wilderness is that you've already got the most important piece locked down, and that's Allen. And he's great. He's not always going to be at the height of his powers like he is right now, but still, he's here. So the temptation becomes, I think, for the fan that thinks about this, or I need to move on. I need to find an offensive coach to pair with Allen. So I'm not always cycling through coordinators if they're successful, because Allen helps make everybody into a rock star, that kind of thing. Your walking off point is, I've got this guy here, right? Without him, it's a whole different thing. So, and Reed, you know, had some success before Mahomes got there, but he needed to get paired with that guy for it all to work. And, I mean, that's been just a beautiful marriage. But Reed, surely, I mean, there's gaffes. A lot of these guys, and I don't like making this point because it sounds like, you know, my mom's voice is in my head. Like, if all your friends jump off a bridge, are you going to jump off a bridge too? Right? Like, there's a lot. I'll do the mom. There's a lot of coaches that screw up stuff like that. Why are you so mad at this guy? My mom doesn't really. My mom is suddenly Marge Simpson. Mom, I'm sorry. I love you. I got really distracted by the voice I put on there, and I kind of lost my train of thought. I'm just going to admit it. Sorry. I'm not going to try to circle back. I'm not going to kill time trying to figure out where I was going there. I crashed. It happens. 803-0550 is the number. Paul Hamilton coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll get the Steve Foley Law pregame show going for Sabres Rangers, but should be time for a call or two on the other side of this quick timeout. So hang in there if you want to get on. I should have time for, as I said, a couple of calls here after this on WGR. Thanks for hanging here today. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schoep has been out sick. I promise we'd squeeze in a couple of calls here, so we'll try to do exactly that before we hit the Steve Foley Law Sabres pregame show at the top of the hour. Jesse is first up this segment. Hi, Jesse. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Good, man.
Good. So I think we could absolutely win a Super Bowl with McDermott. A lot of people do get concerned with the late-game decision-making. But I kind of feel like not just McDermott, a lot of coaches in general are kind of, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If it works out, you look like great decision-making, you know, you're great mastermind. If you don't, you fire him, get his head on a spike right away.
Yeah, that's right, and thank you. That was exactly where I was going when I got distracted with the mom voice that made me think of Marge Simpson, and then my brain broke. Yeah, I mean, a lot. I don't like making that point because it sounds like the mom, you know, if your friends jump off the bridge. That's where that all started. I'm not going to go down that road again because the same thing will happen again. It's proven. It's science. Because, it just sounds like you're settling for, it's okay if you're, you know, inept at times. Everyone around you is. Maybe that what saying it that way doesn't do is give any respect to how hard it is. It's hard. It's a hard job, man. Getting that, all that right, even with people helping you. But yeah, man, I hear you. That point's been made a lot. That's why I gave you the list of some of the guys who've won Super Bowls that I don't think are like great coaches, but you know they won. They got it right enough at the right moment, and that's all you got to do. You got to do it once. Ken is next up here on WGR. Thanks for calling, Ken. You're on the air.
Hey, Bulldog, thanks for taking my call. As far as the decision to take the penalty, I don't have a problem with the decision. What I didn't like was the reasoning behind it. If your thought process is, you know what, they're going to go for it, whether it's 4th and 7 or it's 3rd and 17, and you feel like you have a better chance of stopping 2 plays for 17 yards than 1 play for 7 yards, I'm okay with it. I wouldn't necessarily have made that decision, but if that's your reasoning, because they don't want to give Josh Allen the ball back either way, they're going for it no matter what I do, then I agree with it. I'm okay with it. I didn't like the reasoning behind it at all. And as far as McDermott goes, I'm your age, Bulldog. I'll take McDermott's the best coach we've had by far since Marv Levy. I like the guy from Kansas City's point, careful what you wish for. I think we can win a Super Bowl with McDermott. And I thought he redeemed himself for the most part this year until the last game when it comes to late game decision making.
All right, Ken. Thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate it. And that's going to be a wrap on that conversation. Oh, until tomorrow. I don't know if Mike will be back or not, but I might find some different words to phrase this conversation and kickstart it off. Because somebody earlier said courageous asking this question. This is how it should work. It's been good. There's been criticism. There's been some emotion. I don't think anybody cried yet. It's just me and Paul, and I don't know. One of us could break at any moment, so we'll see. Anyway, really fun show, so thank you for that. I didn't know until pretty late in the day that Mike was going to be out. He got sick late in the day, and the first thing I thought was, I think I'm going to do this, and you've paid me off. So thank you very much, audience, all of you out there, for listening. If you haven't participated, you know, I appreciate you all too. All right. Was that warm and fuzzy enough? Was that nice? See, now I'm going to cry.
That was good.
I'm kidding. I'm not going to cry. I can't because I have more work to do. I can't get emotional now. that has nothing to do. I'm not emotional. I've been sick. All right. Paul Hamilton coming up next. I didn't mean to yell. I'm going to cry. No. Paul's coming up after the top of the hour update here. Sabres pregame. Steve Foley Law. Sabres pregame. Sabres and Rangers. We'll get you all set up for that right after this on WGR.